Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, May 28th, 2015. It's just after 2:30 UTC as we're starting this. I'm Sam Minter, and once again, for the first time in a few weeks, we've got Yvonne Bo. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
And
hello.
You were on vacation, and then you were on a business trip, and then you went to a wedding or something, and and now you're back.
Yes, now I'm back. I basically spent, like, I don't know, what, like, it was over 2 weeks out of town.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I got home from my business trip on Thursday night, like, at a little past one in the morning, unpacked the bag, repacked it, went to sleep, like, at 2:30, woke up at 5:30, and headed back to the airport, basically, to go...
Lovely.
To go to a nice island in the Caribbean, where we had a... good time. I left my son with my mom, and then you were asking about what's up with my son. So we were leaving towards my mom's house, and you know, I had brought all his respiratory therapy. My mom actually has the stuff over there because we've had all my nephews. If you have a lot of respiratory problems, and so he was coughing more than usual, but we weren't sure what the deal was. So we went and we left, and we didn't really have that much. The cell coverage was very poor. And, like, later at night, my dad called that he was, like, really, really having respiratory issues. Huh. Really
now,
bad.
Had he had a history of, like, asthma or whatever? Or
like, once before he had an attack like this.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what the common thread was. What happened was, and I didn't think of this because it's only happened once. The last time it happened, this has been, like, it would get like a little, you know, when it gets a little bit dry sometimes in Florida, you get some brush fires in the Everglades, okay? And they give off a lot of smoke. And that's the last time it happened. And when I left the house, I smelled the smoke. I didn't think of it because it only happened once before. And it doesn't matter if my son's indoors. When those brush fires goes off, he's very sensitive to the smoke.
Right.
And it just really, you know... Got him really bad. That my parents had to wind up taking him to the ER while we were the first night that we were out of town. But he was fine. I mean, you know, they gave him prednisone, which is prednisone. Really, if those of you are not familiar with the drug, I mean, the main thing is it just really like tells your immune system to just stop. You're not helping anything.
Yeah, okay? I mean, I have a family history of asthma too. My father had asthma. I had asthma. You mentioned prednisone. I was on prednisone for a significant portion of my teenage years. Alex, my son, has asthma too.
I had asthma too.
So,
but the thing is that all of a sudden he had a little bit of a cold, and you know, it was just, I mean, we didn't know at first what the heck was going on, and it only happened like once before, okay? So, but you know, once they got him, they gave him the medication, sent him home, he's fine. You know, he's still a little bit coughy and stuff and whatever because he had a cold, but he's a lot better now. So, we were able, my parents, you know, my mom being a pharmacist, you know, helped. She kind of figured out what the hell was going on relatively quickly. So, you know, it didn't turn into that big a deal. It would have been if I'd left him with somebody else. Didn't know what, like my mom said, well, at least I know what the hell I'm doing, so it's good you left them with me.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, as long as you know what's going on, you know, these are, you know, very treatable things, and
right,
you know,
right.
And you know, be aware of triggers, like, you know, okay, the fires.
You know what, it just only happened, the thing is that I think a lot of times before, he may have been a little bit coughy because of it, but because last year, he was, oh my God, I had him on albuterol so often, okay, all
right? Right.
It probably didn't, he has been a lot better this year, okay, with all of this. So it's not like I haven't been given as much respiratory therapy as I had been last year. And then, you know, we had this brush fire, and actually I have him on Flonase every day too, which actually helps quite a lot.
Right.
And I don't know, this brush fire just came up, and you know, I mean, I'd had 3 hours of sleep, for God's sakes. You know, it's not like I, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, I had everything packed for him. I'm taking him to my mom's house, and I'm, you know, it's just he's coughing, but you know, it's not really clicking in my brain that, you know, that I smell the smoke and he's coughing. It just didn't, you know, Yeah. So anyway, but everything's fine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because when the weather goes just the right way, or people are burning their wood stoves or whatever, everybody in my household feels it. Yeah. You know,
especially the burning of those wood stoves. It's like, oh my god. So I don't know. So we were in an island, and it was fun. I mean, I gotta be honest. You know, that's like very little connectivity over there, which is good. My cell phone didn't work. You know, it was like a little bit tough. My wife's phone managed to been working, which is a good thing, so my parents could call. Okay, when that happened. But for the most part, I don't know. I barely had any, the internet on the hotel, you could get some. It would come in and out, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's okay. So we do have a real show coming up.
We do have a real show.
We do have a real show. And, you know, one other thing I should mention. You know, hey, the last couple of weeks we had guest hosts. We had Bruce, and then we had Jen, and we got a lot of people that Bruce and Jen knew tuning in to our show, perhaps for the first time. So if any of you are sticking around for this week's show, even though they're not there, you know, welcome, and we hope you enjoy our regular show with myself and Yvonne.
Yes.
And, you know, listen and give us feedback. Tell us what you like. But we have a real show coming up today with real topics. As usual for us, we're going to have three main segments.
Unlike our other shows with the fake topics, you mean?
Yeah. Well, sometimes we do fake topics.
Wait, we have? Okay.
Like the time we did the whole show on your pet dragon.
We did?
Didn't we?
God, I must have been really drunk that day. Okay. All right. Well.
Or maybe, you know, my memory might be gone.
Okay.
It might have been, you know, about, you know, some presidential candidate who I thought was a dragon. I don't know.
Ah, well, that sounds more reasonable. But he probably is running as a Republican at this point.
Maybe. Or, you know, but, you know, I think dragons more into the running as an independent thing.
You think? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay,
anyway, our main topic today, we're going to talk about this, all the arrests from FIFA and, you know, what? FIFA, whatever. Some kind of damn soccer thing.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll let Yvonne run with that one. Although I have a few things. I've followed it a little bit.
There's a whole bunch of interesting aspects that are not so much related to the soccer that I actually want to talk about.
Yeah,
so
there you go. I mean, massive corruption.
Yes.
Anyway, which is always fun. We're also going to talk about a little bit of election 2016. And, you know, frankly, you know, get used to it, guys. It's going to be in almost every show from here until the election. You know, we may miss a few here and there where nothing's going on, but it's that season.
Yeah. We're
going
to, it is definitely that season. No doubt about that.
And so we got a couple new candidates. We've got a couple other developments there. We'll talk about that. And then finally, we're going to round it up with the Patriot Act renewal and all of the drama around that, and whether or not it's going to happen, and is it blocked, or is there going to be a reform bill, and all this kind of stuff, because we had some developments on that last week, and there's still drama yet to come. So those will be our three main topics, followed, of course, by a lightning round. So there you go. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and jump right in with FIFA. Back after this.
FIFA!
FIFA! You know, whatever.
Information.
And we're back. Okay, Vaughn.
Oh, one little tidbit that I forgot to mention. On my trip over back and forth, I stopped in St. Martin. Okay, all right?
Okay.
You know how in St. Martin, the end of the airport is right over the beach? Have you seen all these videos of people getting blown off?
Oh, right. That airport that's like right off the beach.
Did you
get to go there?
I did, and I actually stood right there and saw a plane take off while, you know, a whole bunch of idiots stood behind it. But I will say that nothing happened to them. None of them wound up getting, like, blown off or smacked.
Did you stand right there where you felt the wind?
No.
You're not that stupid?
I am not that stupid, no. I have a pilot's license. I haven't used it in a long time. I will say that that is just one of the most moronic things to do. But actually, it happened to be that I got sent to the hotel that's right beside that, okay, which I declined to stay at because it was a shithole. And but I decided to just walk outside for a minute and to go and look at that. Then I decided to find another hotel that basically wasn't right beside the water treatment plant. Or the airport with the planes taking off at the same time.
I don't see why you wouldn't like those things.
Yeah, it was great. On one side, you have the water treatment plant, sewage. And on the other side, you have planes taking off and basically not letting you sleep. Genius.
You know, people take whole vacations just to visit water treatment
plants. Actually, they do. As a matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of people staying at the hotel that were staying there for their damn vacation. Now, the thing is, I only got sent to that hotel because we were on a flight that was oversold, and so therefore we couldn't get on it. And so I decided that given the amount of money that the airline actually offered us, including the hotel, I said, to hell with it. I could find a nice hotel with the money that they gave us for having been bumped. And And actually, you know what? The better news, I got home and opened the mail and unexpectedly found a check for $500.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So there you go.
You know, we just got a notice in the mail last week or something for a similar amount for like 2 or 3 years ago, we changed something related to our homeowner's insurance.
That's actually why I got the money for my insurance for my house, too.
Yeah. And it was like, hey, we owe you $500. And we're like, okay.
And I was like, exactly. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, I didn't have noticed. There was a check. It said, oh, we owed you this money because of something with your insurance. And I'm like, great.
Yeah, ours actually wasn't quite as straightforward. It says, we think we owe you money, you know, fill out this form and we'll send you a check.
Right. No, they flat out sent the check. So anyway, all right, speaking of the real subject, so FIFA. Okay, so, all right, so all these executives of, or like, I don't know if we call them executives.
This is the organization that runs the global soccer world and organizes the World Cup every 4 years.
Right.
And all
now,
kinds of stuff like
here's
that.
Here's the thing. Like, so, unlike the National Football League, all right? The National Football League is a private organization, okay? Right. All right? That is a for-profit, I guess, for the profit of the owners, okay, of the teams.
Well, the NFL just recently gave up nonprofit status, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Right, but the thing is that, FIFA, as far as I can tell, is a nonprofit, okay? Mm-hmm. And it supposedly governs the rules of soccer throughout the world, okay? Because this is one of the things about tough understanding. I mean, it's not like they run like – because there are leagues in each country, okay, all right, like the Major League Soccer in the U.S., which is a league. It's not really owned by FIFA. They're just a governing body for it. Now, the thing is that the most profitable endeavor in soccer are the international competitions, excluding the World Cup, which is the most viewed sporting event really there is in the world, okay? So there's a lot of money involved with that aspect of it. So it appears that for, I don't know, going back 24 years, there's been a series of, and everybody has accused them of this. I mean, there's been a series of, like, crimes related to FIFA that have been accused. Payoff of referees. Payoff for votes at for work of. Payoff for obtaining marketing rights and all sorts of things, okay? Now, everybody has been accusing everybody and their mother of doing this, but nobody has actually ever proven that any of these allegations. As a matter of fact, there were some internal investigations that we did nothing wrong. Everything's fine. We're perfectly clean. Okay? In spite of, like, massive evidence that there's no frickin' way this could be possible. Okay?
You know, internal investigations are always the ones you trust.
Yeah, those are great. Okay? You know? So, it comes that I was reading that apparently through an investigation that had nothing to do with this, okay? The U.S. was investigating, I can't remember exactly, but it was an unrelated investigation. It's regarded to Russian organized crime, okay, all right, by the Eurasian Joint Organized Crime Task Force in the FBI's New York office, okay? Somehow, they bumped into money laundering related to the payoffs. Because I guess that this goes to one of the subjects that I talk about this, okay? One of the biggest things about this was officials from countries basically selling their votes, okay, to the highest bidder for getting the World Cup, okay?
Right.
So, and I always go to the question is, I mean, look, if I went and I openly sold my vote, right? I said, listen, I'm up for the highest bidder. You give me money, I'll vote your way. If I actually went and created my own company, I am like Ivan Moe, I'm selling my vote, LLC, and I go and I say, I am running an auction for the highest bidder, and I actually declare the taxes on that money that I got paid off. Is that really illegal? Why is that totally wrong? Now, the problem is that these guys were greedy bastards. So they got payoffs in cash. They didn't declare the money. They moved it around. They didn't never pay taxes on it. A big part of why they're getting, like, you know, screwed is because, A, it was extortion type, okay, which extortion gets illegal. B, because you didn't declare the money, and so therefore you didn't pay taxes on it. So that's usually where a lot of these people get really pinched.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, you know, probably, you know, the selling your vote itself is probably violates a number of laws itself, but the place where people get caught on all of these things always end up being the taxes, because it's a lot easier to prove that.
Right. So, yeah, so a lot of people here are basically getting screwed. So, but here's the thing. I'm not talking about your vote, say, because there's all sorts of anti-bribery, anti-corruption laws, and anti-ethics laws, say, in a lot of, like, different organizations, okay? All right? Now, I don't know. Listen, we're talking about criminal indictments and not laws, okay? All right? Look, if I am employee for
wait, criminal indictments and not laws? What?
No, they're criminal indictments and not, yeah, thank you very much. Criminal indictments and not violation of actual bylaws of the organization, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
They're being accused, okay? So, because there's one thing, for example, if I go, for example, I work for Company X, and somebody went and, like, there's, you know, Company X usually has very strict rules against people getting purchased, like, lunches or, like, gifts or something like that, depending on the position that you are, depending on what you do, right? So, now say I have my own different organization, but there is no such rule against that. I mean, is that really a crime that I work for an organization that doesn't have that kind of rule to sell the vote? Or even if the organization did have that, given what this is, which is just a game.
Well, yeah.
Why the hell is it illegal for me to sell my vote to a damn game?
Well, I don't know the specific laws in question here, but there are numerous laws on the books against bribery in all kinds of contexts, including ones that are potentially private. As long as I think it's got to do with sort of the fraudulent aspect of it as well, like
right. If you're conducting fraud, because you're
presenting this as. As you know, a sort of fair competition, and it's really right. Not. And so you've got fraud issues there.
Now,
if FIFA had right up front said every 4 years we give the World Cup to whoever gives us the most money, and specifically not just the organization but also us personally, and said that up front.
Or it's an open vote selling competition. Basically, anybody go right ahead, procure all the bribes possible, and you know what? You can sell your vote to whoever you want, right? That would be an interesting way of doing it. I mean, what the hell anyway, you know? It's like, you know.
I mean, come on. That's like pretty much the reality anyway. Well, as we see now, in this case.
Yes.
But also, you know, people brought up the comparison to the Olympics, which basically work the same way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, there's one guy in here who's a representative for Trinidad and Tobago who basically he had been securing votes. And one country offered $1 million, and that was not enough. And he went for, I think, a South Africa that apparently paid him $10 million for his vote. Okay, that's a pretty sweet deal for one vote, man. I tell you what, $10 million bucks. I mean, shit. But let's, you know. But okay, so you think that, you know. Say, for example, if they went and they so you think that they would be in trouble if they just went out and just publicly just, fuck, I'm selling my vote to the highest bidder. Is that so bad?
I think if they publicly said that up front, they probably wouldn't have gotten a chance to actually sell the vote. I think if they'd legally paid their taxes on all this stuff,
yes,
but there was still evidence of the vote selling,
Their charges would be quite substantially reduced, I would probably think. Okay, all right. So I guess selling a vote's illegal. Well, here's the other thing. So while I was working out at the gym, okay, all right, this whole thing came up regarding more to our election. Okay, especially, you know, there were like Fox News, which is apparently they should rename themselves the anti-Hillary Clinton Network at this point. Uh-huh. Because it's like it's 6 o'clock, so I'm over there at the gym and I'm working out, and they're talking about the FIFA thing. And the first thing, you know, you see every other person in coverage, you're talking about what's the next moves, what's going to happen. It doesn't matter which network you go, which thing you go, except Fox. Fox was like, well, then, if they're investigating FIFA, why aren't they investigating the Clinton Global Initiative for all the donations and all the stuff or whatever? Pop, pop, pop. Like, what the fuck? I mean, is everything now, every news story, going to just relate to, like, Hillary Clinton and, you know?
Yes.
This shit? Yes.
I thought I saw at least somewhere that there actually was a connection between FIFA and the Global Initiative as well, with some money changing hands in one way or another. But I don't remember the details of that.
Well, I don't could think be that full of it. With the votes. But
Clinton Initiative did not buy a vote themselves.
Right. And here's the thing, okay, all right, for all of you, okay? I guess the biggest difference is, okay, the guy from Trinidad and Tobago was going out there and saying, hey, give me the most money, I will vote for you. The fact that there were donations to the Clinton Global Initiative were not in any way, at any point, in which Hillary went saying, hey, send me money, and I will vote for you.
Well, and we'll talk about that in the next segment, because there, you know, there are questions about that too. But in the meantime, back on FIFA. So like now, part of one of the things that people have been saying for a while is obviously corrupt. Were the next two World Cups in what is it, Dubai and Russia, right?
Qatar
and Russia. And, you know, people pointing out, you know, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that those were all paid off. Yes.
Qatar has a, you know, specifically Qatar, they were talking about like, okay, this is a competition in the summer in Qatar where the temperatures are routinely 110 degrees.
Well, they are purposely moving it to the winter. Okay. All right. In order for it not to have that problem.
Right. And also there's all kinds of human rights issues in Qatar. There are issues of, you know, how many people will die.
By the way, this has happened for other sporting events. Okay. Yeah. All right. That have been moved for that reason. So I'm not going to, you know, now I think the biggest thing about Qatar, you have the human rights issues. You have that, but it was just the whole thing that it was obvious that damn it, they had to have paid them off. There were a lot of other bids that were in a competition that damn it were just more compelling, and they just gave it to frickin' Qatar. Okay.
Now one final question. We're about out of time for this segment, but you know, so far all of the indictments and everything have been to the people receiving the bribes. Why aren't we hearing about the people paying the bribes?
I don't know. But I will say what I did notice is that everybody has said, and apparently we're not the only country investigating this right now. There's a couple of other countries that have gotten really involved. They said this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there's going to be a lot more indictments to come.
Yeah, because I would imagine, like, there should... And they've said they're not going to move the next couple of World Cups, even if they were bought.
Look, I... You know what? Listen. That is way too early to tell. Look, let me tell you something. What happened today, if more shoes keep dropping, I don't...
The whole thing could fall apart.
You know, absolutely.
There could be no more FIFA.
There could be no more FIFA. That is a distinct possibility. Okay? All right? So the fact that they're saying that right now at this point is so premature, given that from the news today was that, A, the U.S. is still investigating because it's a hell of a lot more stuff than just tip of the iceberg, and B, that the Swiss, where FIFA is based out of, is also doing a very intense investigation of FIFA right now because of all of the stuff that's come up. Okay, so...
And again, they mentioned not just, you know, okay, there were countries like Qatar and Russia trying to get these bids for the World Cup, but there are also media organizations for coverage rights and yes, all of this kind of stuff. And
which is where a lot of the payoffs started, because they were related to sponsorships and marketing, and that's how the whole investigation... Because there was a guy apparently related to this who secretly pled guilty and basically has been the one that's been spilling the beans on this for the last couple of years. And he was managing a marketing organization that was doing the sale of those rights that you were discussing.
Right. And so I would just be shocked if, like, well, sometimes these things end up, you know, you pick the fall guys and then you're done. But, you know, come on, you can't go after the people receiving the bribes without also going after the people paying the bribes.
I agree. And I guess if they helped in the money laundering, because obviously they probably had to make the payoffs in some way to help that. I mean, they were dropping cash envelopes and stuff all over the place. Stuff, whatever. I'm like, I don't know what the hell my pronunciation, but anyway. So yes, I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot more shoes to drop on this thing. So it'll be interesting. I'll tell you what. I like all the aspects. Really, like I said, it's not so much the soccer aspect. The soccer is what it is. But it's just all the pieces that are involved, because there's also quite a lot of governments involved in this, okay, right, in attracting this. Mm-hmm. This is not just a group of private entities in each country trying to attract it, okay? The Russian government and the Qatari government were significantly behind these bids. So if there were payoffs, I'm sure that those governments had something to do with the payoffs.
So okay? we're going to arrest Putin next.
That would be nice. No, are you gonna go serve the indictment?
And like I said before, there are a lot of similarities to the Olympics. I mean, come on, you know these shenanigans are going on with the Olympics.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, right?
There's been absolutely 100%. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Olympics really in the last 30, 40 years has turned into just an event that's just to be honest, disgusting. I've stopped watching them. I used to like watching the Olympics, and now it's just, I don't know.
Anyway, that's it for this segment. We will be back. We'll start talking about election 2016 after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, election 2016. So I have, you know, sort of three sort of subtopics here. We got, or four actually. We got Santorum jumping in. We've got a little bit about Sanders, who I guess, you know, we talked about him a little bit earlier, but he officially jumped in this week, and I've actually been surprised a little bit about how positive the reception has been to him in certain quarters. We've got, we had this little thing between Hillary and your favorite Carly Fiorina down in South Carolina today. And then we've got the Hillary money issues, the Clinton Global Initiative, and all that kind of stuff that you were alluding
to. Well, so you
want
to talk about that first? Let's start with that piece first. It's a little bit, you know, a whole bunch of stuff and big noise about that.
Basically, what people are saying, you know, keep pointing out here is that there appear to be connections where, okay, nobody's got a smoking gun of any quid pro quo or anything like that. However, they've got numerous situations where people who had potential for relationships with the State Department in various ways, shape, or form, gave the Clinton Global Initiative money, or in some cases, personally gave Hillary money to speak, and then, hey, look, they got a bunch of money from the State Department, or the State Department approved some contract, or something like that. And you know, there's sort of time differences here. Sometimes these are donations and things that happened before Hillary was Secretary of State. I think some of the Clinton Global Initiative ones were actually while she was actually Secretary of State. And so the question is, are all of these magical coincidences, or is there actually some kind of influence peddling going on here?
Okay, can I look?
And by the
way, I'm going to say,
go ahead.
If I pulled a Clinton Global Initiative donor list, it probably reads like the phone book.
Yes.
Okay, as Hillary is Secretary of State, who the hell, given how long that damn list is she not have done business for? I think I mentioned
last week that I read at least one thing that mentioned that even the Bushes have given to the Clinton Global Initiative.
Exactly! I mean, give me a break, okay? It's just, I am like right now, I'm like, listen, you know what? I may not like a lot of things about Hillary, but you know what? I'm going to say this one flat out. I am 100% sure that she didn't peddle any of her fucking votes for money that went to the Clinton Global Initiative, okay? And the fact that the
not
donor
votes,
list of that votes or influence or whatever, okay? The fact that the damn donor list is like the fucking, you know, yellow pages, for God's sakes, is the reason why, of course, you're going to find a list of a whole bunch of things that she was involved and that the CGI got money.
And she was speaking in a bunch of places. Bill was speaking in a bunch of places. They both got really high dollar figures. And
fees, yes.
And so part of what people have also mentioned, of course, and is, okay, you know, $500,000 for a one-hour speech? Really? They've got to be buying something more than the speech.
Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. You know what? You look at the fees that guys like Colin Powell, what's his name, other guys, Secretary of Defense, anybody. You take all of those guys. Those are the fees that they get for those damn speeches. I was looking the other day, that it was like, I can't remember, it was like Jalen or something gets $300,000 to give a freaking college commencement speech. You think what? What do you think? What are they paying them off for? To do what? Give extra better jokes?
Well, the other argument here, Jay Leno aside, is that, you know, hey, there may be some aspect of Clinton saying, you know, they gave a lot of money to the initiative. They're kind of friends of ours. We understand them. You know, let's give them a look. For whatever is going on. However, the important part here that I want to mention is there's not a single person in Washington that doesn't apply to.
Right. Exactly.
You know, Washington is all about, and more generally than that, politics is all about, you know, making friends and building relationships, and someone helps you out, so you help them out. And this is how back when politics actually worked, and, you know, Congress was able to make deals and pass legislation. That's part of how it happened too. You know, okay, you want this? Okay, you can have that, but only if you give me that, this other thing. You know, and this is how the wheels of politics got greased. Now, I'm not saying that that's the right thing. I'm not saying I like it, but It is what it is.
The system that we built right now.
And so, like, you know, when you look at these kinds of things, do I believe you could find some things that potentially look bad about people giving Clinton or the Global Initiative money?
You could find shit
and
that potentially looks bad about everybody. I mean, almost everybody. I mean, with the same kind of, like, I just, you know, I don't know.
And by the way, like I said, I'm not using that as a, hey, that means it's okay, that means it's wonderful, that means it's great. No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of really bad things about how money influences politics in this country right now. However, I think it's dishonest to try to point it out as somehow atypical.
Right.
You know?
And that she's doing something that... But like I said, I mean, the whole thing, the list of donors that I'm sure they have, it is, and I was looking at one of these, it's just basic, it's like, it's the first.
It's everybody. It's every country in the world, it's every big company in the world, it's every you know, big business person in the world, you know, it's every billionaire out there, you know, it's... Anyway, as I was saying, we had a brief technical interruption there, but I was saying basically everybody in the universe gave to the Clinton Global Initiative. Another point was that I wanted to make is that you may also be able to criticize over how effective the charity is and things like that, but basically...
That's another story.
Yeah, I mean... So this is just one of those things where, you know, very few people's minds are going to be changed by this because it'll just reinforce everybody's pre-existing opinions about Hillary Clinton. The people who hate her are going to hate her. The people who like her are going to like her. Now, in a close election, that, you know, one out of every few hundred people whose mind is swayed by this specific issue may make a difference.
I don't know. I've said this before here. I mean, times before on the show. It's not exactly like I'm not enamored of Hillary at all by any extent. But at the same time, I mean, I got plenty of things I can knock Hillary on. It's not this.
Yeah. Again, unless somebody comes up with a smoking gun.
Right.
If somebody comes up with a smoking gun, it changes everything. Now, of course, you know, if you're Fox or any number of other people, you will say...
Yeah,
there was a smoking gun. She deleted the email.
Yes. Well, which, of course, she gave that to everybody. So, anyway.
Yes, that's a gift to everybody who is against Hillary Clinton. She could have avoided entirely. Although, of course, the argument there is, well, she must have decided that the political fallout from deleting the mails was less than the political fallout of whatever was in them. Yeah. But
we'll never know.
We'll never know. Of course, any email she sent or received had to go to somebody. So somebody's right. Got it. And people are talking about, well, this was easily hacked and the Russians are in everything. Putin's probably got a copy of the email.
Right.
You know, so, you know, whatever. Anyway, so enough about Hillary's money issues. The other thing that involved Hillary today. And I just wanted to talk about it because it involves your favorite person for a second.
No.
Hillary was giving a speech in South Carolina somewhere. And Carly Fiorina was scheduled to give a luncheon or something in the same town, like a mile away. And apparently these were not intentionally coordinated. It's not like Fiorina went there to chase Hillary. It just happened they were in the same place. But she decided that she was going to make a statement by going to the hotel where Hillary was giving her speech and give a press conference to show that she, Carly Fiorina, would answer questions from the press, unlike Hillary Clinton, who's being all standoffish about everything and not answering questions and having very controlled events with only supporters and things like that. And apparently this didn't go all that well. Because the reporters, instead of asking a bunch of questions about Hillary that would allow Carly Fiorina to say things about Hillary that she wanted to say, they started asking questions about her.
Yeah.
And you know, her, she's such a long shot candidate. Why is she bothering with this? Is she only there because she's following Hillary? This, that, the other thing, so apparently she started getting really irritated by this and called off the press conference after about 10
really?
Minutes.
Really? What a shocker. She got irritated by a lot of hard questions. No. Wow. I am just stunned. I'm utterly stunned.
I knew you would appreciate that. So, the two other things. Santorum is in.
Yep.
Are you excited?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm excited. I guess we'll have more Santorum to kick around for a while, I guess. Sure.
And this means another few months of you bugging me about going to dig through my garage to look for the tape of you interviewing Santorum from 20 years ago.
Yes.
Well, which I'm not sure I even have, but okay, whatever.
I have the DAT player hooked up over here.
I know,
right?
I know. You're all ready for it if I find the tape.
I got it all ready to roll. I just need you to find the fucking tapes.
Anyway, Santorum has no shot. He's another one of these candidates that has no shot whatsoever.
He's a one-termer in the Senate. He's a fucking loser, and he's an idiot. Okay, all right? Add all together, all right? So, you know, look, he's out there because I guess, you know, like I said the same thing with Carly. Hey, nobody's paying any attention to me! Let me get out there so people can know and look at me! Yeah! Woohoo! All right. We got the me candidates going. All right.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, he was, you know, the last one to be mathematically eliminated last time around, before Romney clinched it, as it were. So, you know, he claims the mantle of he came in second.
Right.
Although, anyway, it's weird, like, you know, who actually got the delegates, whether it was Ron Paul that had second in the end, and blah, blah, blah. Right. And, of course, officially at the convention last time around, and I apologize, I'm a stickler for these things, officially Romney's the only one who got any votes because he was the only one put in nomination because the rules were set up so that that was the case. But other people did give votes in the floor. But anyway, there is an argument that could be made that Santorum was second last time around. He's not going to be second this time around. He's certainly not going to be first. He's not going to be second either. He's probably not going to be in the top 10.
Oh, he's not. Oh, poor thing.
You know, and
poor thing.
And the top 10 is relevant now, of course, because both the, as we talked about last week, actually, both the Fox and CNN debates are basically saying, look, if you're not in the top 10 polling wise, you're not going to be included in the main debate.
What is the number of official Republican candidates that we've got right now?
Up to 17.
Man, wow. This is going to be a lot of fun.
And there's at least a few more who may yet jump in. And this does include people like Bush, of course, who haven't officially jumped in, but come on now.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, look, the more I will say this. The more I see Bush stumble, the more I'm wondering, I'm like, really? Is he going to run? I mean, what was it? And I wasn't here the last couple of weeks. I mean, but come on. He did not have an answer ready for when he got asked about what he would do with the Gulf War. I mean, don't you think you would have had that one? Like, I had to have that one in my back pocket memorized.
Right. Well, and we did talk about that. The Iraq War, the fact that he didn't have that ready to go, well rehearsed, able to articulate it clearly and cleanly is just shocking. I mean, it's come on. Like, if there's one question that you should be working with your staff for the last 6 months on, that would be the one.
Right.
You know, in his particular case, at least, and probably for the others too. But the fact that he and frankly, everybody else stumbled over the Iraq question too, with the exception of Rand Paul, you know, come on now. But, you know, having said that, you know, I actually went in the show with Bruce a couple weeks ago, I said, look, Bush is still like, if I had to bet, I'd still bet on Bush. It's not like a clear, like, you know, 80% chance he's going to win or something. I believe I said with Bruce, it was like around 25%, but everybody else is less, you know? I think I'd actually revise that back upward a little bit, maybe 30-35%, I'd say, shot for Bush. But he's clearly got a lot of weaknesses there, and he's clearly not as polished and practiced as you'd hope he'd be. He's rusty. Of course, Hillary's rusty too, so he's not the only one.
Oh, we got Bernie Sanders now. We got
Bush has the advantage there, but he's clearly weak. There's clearly going to be a battle here. If Bush stumbles, or I should say continues to stumble, it makes things more and more wide open. The pattern all of these last few election cycles is that by the time we get to Iowa and New Hampshire, there really is one candidate who, at least on the Republican side, who is clearly the front runner, let's say. They may not clearly have it like locked up, but they're clearly the front runner. If we don't get to Iowa and New Hampshire with a clear front runner, then if we don't get out of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, with a clear front runner, then who knows what'll happen? Then you're like situation.
It's just that right now, I mean, I can't remember it. We had a lot of Republicans last time. But it's not this many.
No, it wasn't. I read an article earlier today with a number, but it was it was about half as many as we have right
That's
now.
That's what I thought. It was about half. Okay, all right.
And it was still a lot of people.
It was still a lot of people. But holy shit, it was a shit show the last time with half as many people. Can you imagine this freaking like freak show going out on campaign with 17? We can have more.
Here's the thing. This will get winnowed down quickly. If the first couple of debates say only the top 10 are even allowed into the debate, anybody who doesn't make that cut is going to have a really hard time. So we're going to get it narrowed down to 10 pretty darn quickly.
Okay. And so let me ask a question. All right. So let's give a hypothetical here. Okay. Yeah. All right. You're saying they're going to stick with the top 10. As we remember the last time, the front runners like moved around like cards being shuffled in Vegas. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What the hell? It still doesn't matter. You may have like 10 in one debate. By the next time the deck comes around, it's another group of people.
Here's the thing. And, you know, I'm doing all this polling for the poll tracking for the general election and states and stuff. Election2016.abelsmay.com, everybody. But I don't look at the polls all that much for the nominations. And here's why. Like, you got all this up and down and wild swinging and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, at least the last few cycles, you know, when we were talking about Romney and before that when we were talking about McCain, we had polls going up and down and sideways. But in
Romney
both cases,
was anointed a friend. Listen, when we were looking at it, like, well, we're right now, obviously, way early. We're looking at September, October. We did the shout out. It's going to be Romney.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even have to think about it.
Here's the thing that matters, and here's what I say at this stage in the race. It's follow the money. Yes, it's possible for an insurgent without the money to do something surprising, but for the most part...
But here's the problem. You got a whole bunch of guys in here that have the potential to raise a lot of money.
But right now, at this very second... Bush is running away with the money compared to anybody.
I totally agree. And typically, as we've said before, money wins, okay? But you know what? If he is going to be this ill-prepared, okay, all right? Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money he's got.
Well, this is exactly the thing. If he stumbles and falls, you know, if he continues to make mistakes, the money's going to start finding somewhere else to go.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so, you know, you got Walker, you got Rubio. You know, I don't think the money's going to be heading towards Paul. But, you know, you've got other folks here that, you know, will easily start sucking up money if Bush starts looking like there's no way.
Yeah. I don't know. This is I got to tell you. I feel like we're really in uncharted territory with this number of candidates in the Republican side. It's just, I mean, it just feels for some reason weird. Okay. All right. I mean, when I'm looking at this list, Bush, Walker, Rubio, Paul, Huckabee, Cruz, Carson, Christie, Perry, Santorum, Kasich, Rena, Jindal, Graham, for the love of sweet Moses. Okay, all right? I mean, that many? Shit. I don't know. It's just, I have a weird, but it's going to be like kind of fun feeling about this.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right. Okay.
Okay, we had another technical difficulty. This is like,
okay, this is like ridiculous. What the
two times
fuck is
in
wrong
one
with
show
us?
Like Yvonne's computer crashed and had to reboot like about 20 minutes ago in the show.
We
and
then, both own Macs. This is not like a common occurrence. Like just
it hasn't happened in a while. And then like no. This show is cursed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyway.
What the fuck were we saying?
We were talking about the presidential race, and we're over time on the topic, but I wanted to mention Bernie Sanders before we move on. I'll try to be quick. And he officially announced this week, even though, you know, he pre-announced a long time ago. But the one thing I wanted to mention about him is that his support in the polls via Hillary has been growing. But more so than that, by the way, he still has no chance, but more so than that, what I've been noticing is lots of people, like on my Facebook feed and such, that are of the Democratic variety, seem to actually be really excited about Sanders. Like, I see posts all the time about, go Sanders, and look what Sanders is saying, and why doesn't Hillary say this kind of stuff? And, you know, this is the group of Democrats who are frustrated because Hillary isn't liberal enough for them.
Well, okay, I haven't really looked at what Bernie, you know, in detail he's looking for. I don't know. But look,
he is basically like when people talk about progressive. He has in the past called himself a socialist, but if you actually look at his positions, he's not like wacko socialist. He's sort of like as close to the mainstream as you can get in the U.S. and still say socialist. Which is still pretty left wing, but you know, when people talk about being progressive and being, you know, that kind of folks, you know, he's right up that alley.
Okay, well, I gotta sneak a peek at what he's trying to do. So
yeah, I mean, so people who talk about like him and Elizabeth Warren are somewhat similar in a lot of these areas where they're sort of willing to go out on a limb and actually push the left-wing liberal point of view and say, yes, government should do something about this. Yes, income inequality is bad. Yes, we should be like going after the big banks, all of this kind of stuff. And he's willing to like go out there and of course,
say it
and take the anti-war positions and that kind of stuff. Whereas like someone like Hillary, you know, obviously a big part of her constituency, you know, she's a Wall Street Democrat. You know, she was for the Iraq war initially. She was for the Libya intervention.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I haven't voted for her before, which is one of the things that like leaves me in a quandary about what the heck to do with this damn election, can I be honest? I mean, I don't know. Now, the Republicans, like I said before, is such a wide open field that let's see what the hell happens.
Well, one article I tweeted just it was kind of amusing, and it's really just because the Republican field is so fragmented. But they were like, in terms of actual numbers of people, as opposed to percentages or anything like that, when you look at Republicans versus Democrats polls and stuff, you know, it's like Sanders has more support than these five Republicans combined. You know, looking at the bottom of the Republican field.
Well, it's not saying really a lot anyway.
I know. But it's just amusing. But the thing is, he is providing an outlet for a lot of the folks on the Democratic side who wish Hillary was something she wasn't, who want somebody more liberal and more left-wing than Hillary to sort of embrace. And so it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, right now he's gotten to the point where he's the clear second in the polls to Hillary right now. I mean, you've got Webb and O'Malley and those guys, and nobody's paying attention to them whatsoever, but they're paying attention to Sanders. And so maybe Sanders ends up being the anti-Hillary that we've been talking about. Now, of course, everybody always dismisses him, just like people often dismiss Rand Paul. You know, when they talk about Sanders, you know, every conversation starts with, well, he's a protest candidate. I said that myself. I said he's a protest candidate. He has no shot. He has no whatever. But if he's got enough of the mind share out there, if he's hitting 20, you know, maybe Hillary's got 60% in the polls, but if he's hitting 20%, then that's going to be enough where people are going to have to take him somewhat seriously, and maybe we do have a Democrat that's Hillary versus Sanders and maybe a Webb and O'Malley, I don't know. But and we have, like, some of these issues actually get brought up and discussed. Anyway, the thing that I thought was interesting here that I just wanted to point out is how much I've been seeing people on the left side of the spectrum get excited about Sanders in a way that I don't see them excited about Hillary. Even the people who are very Democratic, expected to be pro-Hillary, you know, it's all sort of like, well, of course it's Hillary. I don't feel like, I'm not sensing excitement about Hillary. No one's like, Hillary, yay! They're just sort of like, yeah, Hillary. Whereas, like, I am seeing some people excited about Sanders.
I'm totally with those guys. That sums it up. Yeah, Hillary. Yeah, whatever.
There you go. Okay, yeah. We're way over on this segment. Technical difficulties and everything. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what was our last topic? The Patriot Act and everything going around about that. And then we'll do a lightning round. I don't know how long we'll go because it's after midnight. Yvonne's time. He's sleepy.
Yeah, I'm very sleepy.
We'll be back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, we've got Patriot Act shenanigans going on. The Patriot Act is due to expire in just a few days as we're recording this on June 1st, and they failed last week, before going on vacation for Memorial Day, to A, renew the Patriot Act as is, and B, pass a reformed version of certain provisions. Both of those failed, which means as it stands right now, unless Congress actually achieves something, the Patriot Act expires on June 1st. Do-do-do! This is Sam from the future here with a quick clarification. It's significant features and parts of the Patriot Act that will expire, not actually everything. Okay, back to the show.
So bad?
No, I don't. I think that would be wonderful.
I think it would be great.
But now the Congress is coming back into session, I believe, on the 31st. So with 24 hours to spare before the deadline. And they're going to try to ram something through.
Do you really think they will? I'm like coming to the point that if they haven't done something by now, they're not going to be able to get something through.
See, I don't know. And I think part of this is the Senate. And, you know, like the last couple things they did before they went on vacation for Memorial Day, the leadership came and said, okay, can we just renew the Patriot Act for a month? And then Rand Paul objected and said no, because it was a unanimous consent to bring that to a vote or whatever. Rand Paul said no. Then they said, how about 2 weeks? Ron Wyden objected and said no. How about 1 week? And then another senator, I forget his name, objected and said no. And then they're like, a couple days? Nope. And, you know, because you've got all of these weird rules in the Senate in terms of, well, how do you even bring things to the floor? How do you get the vote? Can a single senator stop something from happening, or a concerted group of three or four senators? And the answer is maybe. But on the other hand, we also know that the leadership does have a lot of power if they want to override even precedent in various ways. And if you got a core group of Democrats plus Republicans, because there is a minority that wants to block this. Like, if you were doing a straight up and down vote, both of these things would have passed. The Reform Act to change how, you know, to put some additional minor restrictions on things and codify some things would have passed. The extensions would have passed. The only
But here's the thing, right? Do you think that maybe the fact that the reason they haven't rammed it through is because some people maybe technically they don't want to declare they're against it, so they don't really want to vote against it?
But they wouldn't mind that much.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe. And I think it'll be
very... because that's what it seems like to me at this point.
I think there's a lot of dynamics going on here and a lot of arm twisting that's probably going on behind the scenes even now during the holiday. And you're going to see some drama when the Congress does come into session on that last day. And I honestly don't know how it's going to play out. I think it could go either way. If I had to bet right now, I would bet that some kind of Patriot Act extension happens, as opposed to it going completely out. Now, even there, like, just like when we were talking about going off fiscal cliffs and all this kind of stuff, yeah, they can actually afford to miss the deadline a little bit. And, you know, without any major changes, you know, if they have a 24-hour gap or whatever and then reinstate it, oh well, they'll deal with that. But I wouldn't be surprised either.
But I don't hear people like right now talking about how we're making this deal happen.
That's
now
true.
I know that it seemed like when it happened, everybody was like, "Well, it's dead," and I was like, "Really?"
Well, now, one thing to be clear, there's some portions of this that even the NSA is like, you know, the whole, like, keeping all the phone records indefinitely and stuff, the NSA themselves have decided that this was more trouble than it's worth, and they were going to stop anyway.
Right.
You know, so now they want the phone companies to still keep the records so they can get them if they want them. And that's part of what this USA, whatever it was, Freedom Act or whatever that was supposedly reformed, part of that was going to require additional retention by phone companies and such. But, you know, there are parts of this that, you know, even the intelligence community is like, okay, we don't really need that anymore. But there are other parts that they would really like to keep. And so you've got the leadership on both the Republicans and the Democrats saying, hey, guys, we got to renew this. But we've got a core group of people, and it's a bipartisan group. You know, you got Wyden's a Democrat.
Right.
Paul's a Republican. And there are a handful of others. And there's equivalent in the House. There's a vocal minority in the Congress that's like, no, we're done with this. And we're going to do whatever we can to obstruct this. And the question is, do they succeed?
I hope they succeed.
I want them to succeed. I've been clear ever since the Patriot Act was initially passed that I felt this was crazy. It had all kinds of bad effects. We shouldn't be doing this. And if it expires, awesome. I think the leadership and the president are going to pull something out of a hat and force something through But I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the details of Senate procedure.
Well, I haven't even heard the president pushing for it to be, like, reinstated, too. It's not like I've been hearing, like, the White House banging the table, oh, my God, you know, America.
You're right there, because, you know, I haven't – because you would expect, if this really was the super critical issue, that the president would be – on TV, giving a nationwide speech,
right,
talking about how critical this was, and you need to call Congress
that
right away.
I mean, had other times that this has been an issue, that's what's happened.
Now, perhaps what's going on is that the administration feels like even if the Patriot Act expired, they could use other authorities to keep going any bits of this that they really care about. Because you know how creative they've gotten with interpreting the law. And I'm not just talking about the Obama administration, the Bush administration too, but Obama certainly hasn't done anything to change it. They're being as creative as they possibly can in broadly interpreting presidential power to do all kinds of things.
Agreed, but I do think that given the visibility that this has, and honestly, I think that if you look at the surveys in terms of I think Americans are all fine and dandy with, like, spying on everybody else. They're just not fine and dandy on spying on their own themselves. And, given all the controversy that's happened recently, I know that there isn't any clamoring for people to not, you know, nobody's going to get they're not going to be protests in Washington, okay, all right, if it doesn't get reinstated or does. So I mean I think that they may be just doing the calculated move that, you know what, we really never liked this, let's just keep the hands off, let's see what happens, they get renewed
and basically say, okay, let Rand Paul have his victory on this one and go from there.
And
there's there is weird presidential politics here too, because there are several senators who are running for president here. So, like, you know, let's say this does get blocked. You know, does Rubio and these other and Cruz and these guys start hammering on Rand Paul for, like, destroying American security? And
it may be quite an interesting angle.
And hope that that's their way to get to the nomination.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Like, I watched the drama of Rand Paul's pseudo filibuster. It wasn't technically a filibuster because a bunch of things, but his long speech and then all of these objections that I outlined sort of towards the end of the process via Twitter, and it was fascinating. All the back and forth, and they were talking about, you know, the leadership huddling on the floor in the Senate and getting very animated and yelling at each other and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, this is fun stuff. This is great drama when you actually have sort of an insurgency that is against the leadership potentially in both parties that's using Senate procedures to block stuff. This is fun stuff. This, like, makes you want to watch C-SPAN. You know? Now, I actually did not turn on C-SPAN. I just watched Twitter, which was even more fun because people were, you know, you get all the snarky commentary on every little thing that happens. But, you know, hey, when Congress comes back into session at the end of this month in just a couple days, pay attention. This is going to be some fun stuff. Regardless of how it turns out, you're going to see some fun dynamics play out. So, anything else to say about the Patriot Act stuff, Yvonne?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point,
let's take a break. We'll come back.
A short one.
We'll do our lightning round. Back after this. Okay, here we go. Lightning round. We're only going to do 10 minutes because we're running late on this show. 2-minute rounds for each of us.
I'll pick first. I know nothing about this, so you got to tell me what the heck this is. By weight dilemma solved.
Okay, so last week on the show, I talked about my dilemma between my aging, dying iPhone and the fact I really was frustrated by it every day and wanted to replace it. But on the other hand, we're more than halfway through the cycle. It's only a couple months away before we probably have the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus come out. And I was just really frustrated by this because I hated – anyway – what I did, I replaced the battery on the damn phone. I went to the Apple store. I paid $80. I got the battery replaced on this phone, and the battery was the biggest problem. The battery life had essentially gone to zero. I had been carrying around 2 charging cases in order to last it through the day. So I got a new battery, and...
Is that covered under AppleCare?
It's way too old for that. I had AppleCare. It's way too old.
How old? What phone? You don't have a 5S.
I have a 5. Right.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's way too old. Okay.
So I replaced the battery. My battery life is still not awesome, but, you know, back to.
It's a hell of a lot better. It's now not that you
now
basically
I can make
need
it
to have a plug up your, you know what. Okay.
Yeah, now I can make it through the day on 1 battery case instead of 2.
And okay, so, that's a huge improvement.
So that's a huge improvement. And so we'll see if this makes it so I can last till September and when the S comes out.
Okay. All right. So you pick now.
Now it's my turn. I'm just trying to get up this thing. We had feedback 2 weeks ago, actually.
Okay.
From Mark again, who's one of our loyal listeners. But it was for you, so I saved it.
Oh,
I would love
okay.
to hear a little about Yvonne's trip to Disney. Was it a lot of walking for him? Which park do they spend the most time in? He has 2 girls, so it would interest him to know what the experience would be like with a son.
Oh, well, I've gone to Disney. I've lost count how many times since I was a child. I spread it around a little bit. When I went the last time, we went to Magic Kingdom, the Animal Kingdom, and the Hollywood Studios. Walking a lot, I will say yes. I mean, typically, I looked at my, how do you pronounce, pedometer?
Pedometer.
I did about 20,000 steps. Like almost every day that I went there, so that's a pretty big amount of walking. I will say that look, I've taken my nieces. I honestly, at that age when they're small, the interests aren't that much different. You know, like my son likes Beauty and the Beast, and he likes the Little Mermaid, and now he likes also like I don't know, he liked the animals at the and you know, he really liked seeing that, and he likes all the little rides. He loves It's a Small World. I liked it when I was a little kid. There's this ride, I don't know, you haven't been to Disney, there's a ride called It's a Small World.
I've heard of it.
Yes, I'm sure you must have. You know, I like that, and he likes all those rides and stuff. You know, I try to.
Now, did you get the special passes where you have a designated time to go to places instead of waiting in line?
I did not. And one of the reasons that I didn't need to as much do that is because I went during weekdays on the off season. Okay, so there weren't that many lines. You could do that to plan your day, but I didn't do that. And you know, it's in terms of the rate. I mean, I'm, as a Florida resident, you can get an annual pass to Disney for about $300.
Because people do say those things make a big difference, and not waiting in line makes a huge difference.
If you're going in a very busy time, and we've gone before when it's been a busy time, I've used those and they work. That week, I chose specifically to go when there would be less people at the park, so therefore it wasn't that big a deal. I really didn't have to do that, and I was able to go to places and not wait too long.
Turn again.
Okay. How about... Newt on Tech.
Newt on Tech.
Yes.
Do you even know what this is, or you need my background?
I have no idea, which is why I chose it.
So I didn't have a lot to say on this. It was just a note. Newt's been tweeting a lot, and he tweeted some comments about, I forget which gadget it was. It was the Apple Watch or something else he got. And one of the tech blogs, and I should have been prepared, one of the tech blogs was like, hey, Newt, you want to review it for us? And he said, yes. And so Newt's got a gig now. And for the last couple months, he's been reviewing tech gadgets online.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, and it's like, okay, cool. But like, it's like Newt Gingrich. And he's writing articles for some damn tech blog about his feelings on the Apple Watch or something. You know, it's
well,
just,
I guess,
it's just
you know, he didn't have, you're not running for president, I guess. Or maybe he is. It would be fun. I would love to get more of his press releases.
Yes. He had some good stuff.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
I that's all on that. I just thought it was really amusing that Newt was doing that these days. And and not only that, but the way that it started was him having some random conversation on Twitter back and forth with one of these tech bloggers.
Cool. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next.
My turn. I finished a book.
Okay.
I finished The Restaurant at the End of the Universe, which is the second book in Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, quote-unquote trilogy, even though it has five books in it. And, you know, I hadn't read this in many, many years. It had been actually a few years. I was continuing on from having read the first one in the series, but it had been many years even since I did that. You know, it's a fun series. It's funny. It's very lighthearted. You know, I'm no longer quite the target audience. It's the funniest when you're a teenager, probably, you know, and when you're reading it for the first time, it loses a little bit of its impact. I read this and I knew what was coming. I knew many of the jokes already, and it was still funny, but not the same as like you're reading it the first time as a young person. But you know, it was fun to read it again. It was okay. But you know, this is the kind that it's really the best the first time around.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, all
your
right.
Turn.
Goodbye, Letterman.
Yep. Letterman
gone. I managed to watch a few of the last ones. I have not yet watched the last episode.
I TiVo'd a bunch of these, and I watched some highlights on that were posted the day
after. I watched a few of them. They were actually quite good, can I be honest? I watched them pretty close to its entirety. I didn't have a chance to watch the last one yet, but I because I'd been, you know, not here, so I'm gonna try to see if I can get some point, maybe tomorrow night I can get to finally watch it.
I'll eventually watch them, but I mean, look, the main thing is, you know, for people of our age, early 40s,
Jesus. Yes,
you know, Letterman was a big part of our formative years. I mean, and
yes,
you and
was.
I have talked before about Carson and Carson leaving, because we were sort of at the tail end of those who appreciated Carson.
Yes.
But we were right smack in the dab the middle of Letterman's core audience. And so this is another bit of the, okay, there goes, you know, a significant part of, you know, our youth.
I mean,
is gone.
Done. Listen, when Letterman came on and I was a little kid, okay, all right. I mean, it came on a good chunk of the year where I lived, not at 12:30. It started at 1:30. Okay, all right, in Puerto Rico. Okay,
uh-huh.
I mean, so, and I watched a lot of those. Okay, up. Okay, so you can tell that I got to school with very little sleep. Can I be honest? Because I liked watching Letterman.
Spent many a late night watching him. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, it was, you know, it's one of those things. You're in college. I mean, it's like 12:30. I mean, what the hell are you doing? I mean, you know, if you're not out or doing something, whatever, I mean, you're freaking watching Letterman. It's what we did, you know?
There you go. Good luck to him again, I guess. I mean, there are all kinds of iffy things he did too, but you know, whatever.
Oh gosh, nobody's perfect. Jesus.
There you go.
Okay.
My turn. I wanted to talk about internet speeds for a second. I think we mentioned a couple months ago, you know, they changed the definition of broadband, and I was like, no, I don't even think I have broadband anymore, given the definition. And in fact, I did, barely. I had a plan that's 25 up, 25 down was my plan.
I have 20.
You had 20. I thought I had 20. Turns out I had 25. But, you know, I went to look at my provider's available plans right now.
And?
And, you know, actually, I think we did have 20. We did have 20. We had 20-20. They didn't even offer 20-20 anymore. The lowest they had was 25-25. 20-20 wasn't even offered anymore.
What's
your provider? They had 25 Frontier. It's Fios, so they bought it off Verizon in this area, whatever. And then they had a 50 plan and a 100 plan. And I'm looking at these, and then I realized that the 25-25 plan, which is faster than the plan we had, was $20 a month cheaper than what we were paying.
Hmm.
And, of course, did they bother to ever mention anything to
us?
Hell no.
No, that happens a lot.
Would there be a notice that says, hey, by the way, we now offer faster speeds in your area. Would you like to upgrade?
Listen, cell phone companies do the same thing, too. I mean, it's like you're going to be always like looking to see what they did with the plans, because you may be on a more expensive plan, and they're like, oh, yeah, we launched this plan with like twice the minutes, half the price, or we're
so anyway, the long and short of this is we're upgrading from 20-20 to 50-50, and we'll be playing significantly less per month for the privilege.
Well, that sounds great to me.
They have to take someone. Someone has to come out to the house, so it'll be like a couple weeks.
I am like negotiating to get an upgrade to all our base speeds over here to get like. I mean, we have fiber to the buildings, but I'm trying to get the base speeds up that we're getting provided for the same price. So I don't know. We'll see. One of the things that they were telling me is that we had to do a little overhaul of the AT&T backbone, and AT&T said they're doing it, and they're going to do it in the next couple of months. I'm trying to make sure that we can get gigabit to all the units. I mean, like right now, I think we can, but I think that it may tax our main fiber that's coming in. I think we may need to upgrade that a little bit. So anyway,
gotcha. One more for you, and then let's wrap it up.
God. Oh, what the hell? A Morsi death sentence. Here we go. So they sentenced them to death. I found that shocking. Could I be honest? I mean, he was elected president.
Yeah, right? I'm not shocked by anything going on over there right now.
No.
But yeah, okay.
You don't think that's just, I mean, I understand, you know, hey, you depose a guy, you know, usually then we used to like, you know, when we depose dictators or something or whatever, or didn't we just send him into exile somewhere, you know?
The guy before him get acquitted or something?
Right. Yeah, so that's why I'm like,
fun stuff going on in Egypt. Because the bottom line is all of the positive hopes that people had for what was going to happen in the Arab Spring in Egypt and most of these other countries.
It's annihilated.
Annihilated. I mean, Libya's a mess in part thanks to us, honestly. Egypt's a mess.
Libya's going to be a mess regardless.
I think we made it worse. But, you know, I think the only one, what is it? Tunisia's doing okay, right?
Right, yes.
But none of the other countries in that whole region, and we haven't even talked about Yemen in quite a while.
We didn't do anything there. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they had, I just think it's just a little bit, I just think it's a little bit extreme. Let's just, you know. Hey, but you know, hey, like you said, they did sentence Mubarak to something, and now he's like out. So who the hell knows if they'll ever carry anything out over this? You know.
Okay. Another area to watch, and we're pretty much out of time. I will mention one more thing real quick. I won't take a whole 2 minutes on it. But you know, we had John Nash die. He's the one who was in.
Yes, I had
a Beautiful Mind. But the key part about this, and we talked about this with regard to a reporter a number of months ago, he was in a taxi not wearing his seatbelt along with his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got ejected from the car. The driver's fine. You know, and you hear about this periodically, and it's just a reminder to everybody. Hey, look, the fact that you're in the back seat of a taxi is not some magical protective shield. You know,
yeah.
If you're in a car and it's moving, you should have your damn seatbelt on.
I gotta be honest with you. In taxis, sometimes I find it like, I get it. We should be more proactive about it. I just sometimes find it, I don't know why in the taxi cab uncomfortable. I don't know, but I think you're right. You know, I'll be more mindful of that.
If you're in a taxi, if you're in a limo, if you're in any of those type of basically, if you're in a moving vehicle,
I'm a stickler for damn seatbelts. It's just I don't know. Especially if it's like my own car, for example, I'll wear a seatbelt in the back seat or a friend of ours. Should wear a seatbelt any seat, regardless. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely, and it's kind of amazing to me that in many states where there's seatbelt laws for private vehicles, that you've got some sort of exemption for you know, paid vehicles like this. There shouldn't be. I mean, you can argue about whether we should have seatbelt laws at all. That's a real argument. But if you're going to have them, exempting certain classes of vehicles seems crazy to me.
Yes. Yes. True.
Okay. All right. That's a show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And once again, for anybody who joined us for the first time when either Bruce or Jen were on, thank you for joining us again, and we hope you'll continue to listen.
Hopefully next time we'll record it, we won't be stumbling around like technical fools. Okay, great.
Yeah, well, you know.
So we'll try.
As usual, if you have any questions, comments, anything like that, the number one place to go is our Facebook page. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. There'll be a post about this episode. Please feel free to comment there and join the conversation. If you don't like that, you can reply to us on Twitter. I'm Abulsme, at Abulsme. Yvonne is at IMBo. And if you don't like either one of those, you can email me. I'm Abulsme at Abulsme.com. Love to hear from you that way as well. And hey, if you did like the show, tell your friends about us. Share us on Facebook. Drop a review on iTunes. Tweet about us. Whatever. You know, just
anything.
We love all that kind of stuff.
Well, I was going to use more foul language, but we like publicity.
Yeah, there you go. So, hey, in the meantime, everybody, we'll be back again next week talking about the news of the day. In the meantime, have a great week. Talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.